This is Paul Crosetti, Senior Site Editor of TechTarget's Search Data Backup and Search Disaster Recovery Sites. Joining me today to discuss cloud-to-cloud backup is Matt Hanlon, Vice President of Products at Spanning. Thank you for being here, Matt.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How aware do you think users are of software as a service applications such as Salesforce and Office 365 that they probably need more backup and protection than what those apps offer?
At this point in the maturity of the market, I think it gets better and better every quarter that I've talked to customers. I think there's still a lot of education that needs to happen in the market. Spanning has been doing data protection for SaaS applications since 2011, and we spent a lot of time, in 2013, 14, 15, educating the market, educating the industry analysts, and very often our conversations with prospects started with questions like, well, why do I need to back up my SaaS data? Don't they do that for me, right? Microsoft, Salesforce, Google Apps. But we've seen a shift in the last 12 to 18 months where a lot of prospects are coming in much more educated on the problem. They realize that there is a risk of data loss in those environments caused mainly by human behavior, human action, whether that's internal or external. And they're starting to ask the questions amongst themselves in the organization and between departments. And so we've made a lot of progress over the last 4 to 5 years, but I still think there's room to go. I still have conversations with customers and prospects about just the base reason why you'd want to protect data in a SaaS environment. So I think we've come a long way, but there's still some room to grow.
So what are some key data protection tips for users of software as a service?
I think there's a few. My number one tip always is to eliminate the problem. Have anyone I speak with, that's like, you need to be having this conversation in your organization. What happens a lot of times that we've seen is that when a workload or an application moves from an on-premises environment to a SaaS environment, so imagine you're using Siebel CRM on-premises and you've adapted and changed and adopted Salesforce, what happens is that the team that was running Siebel on-premises, running in the data center, probably had a backup team that was backing up and protecting the data from the underlying services, the database, OS, storage array level, one of those things. When you move to Salesforce, in that instance, the team that was protecting the infrastructure and making sure the application was highly available, a lot of times they get disengaged and they don't ask those hard questions about, well, now that Salesforce is running the entire application top to bottom, there's not much for me to do anymore. There's no hardware, network, storage array, databases for me to manage anymore. And so the rigor, the IT rigor they put around making sure that data was protected and that infrastructure and applications were always available isn't there anymore. And if you talk to the application owner, the Salesforce admin or the Office 365 admin or the G Suite administrator, very often they haven't historically spent a lot of time or thought around making sure that it's fully protected because it was somebody else's job. And so when you move from on-premises to a cloud application, sometimes there are security practices like backup and recovery that get lost in that transition. And so my number one tip is, if you're an application owner, if you're Salesforce admin or Office 365 admin, ask your core IT team or your backup team, if you have one, are you doing anything to protect the data that we have in Office 365? And vice versa, if you're on the IT team, our compliance team, we'd be asking the other constituents in your organization, what are we doing as a company, whether it's the application team or the infrastructure team, to protect the data that's in the SaaS environment? Because the rules, the compliance controls that are there in the industry, they don't change as you move between on-premises and cloud. The responsibilities change a little bit, but ultimately the data that's in the SaaS environment, it's still the company's responsibility to protect it and make sure you can always recover it very, very quickly. So ask lots of questions in your organization. That's my first tip. My second tip, as you are progressing with a project to protect your SaaS data, as you're evaluating solutions, absolutely spend 2, 3, or 5x the amount of time during the testing cycle and proof of concept working with restores. We often say around here, backup is one thing, but restore is everything. There are a lot of solutions out there that can protect your data or back it up. There are features and functions in Salesforce and Office 365 that have some level of protection, you know, like recycling bins or things like that. But when it comes down to recovering from a data disaster, it's all about the recovery. So as you look at solutions, absolutely test the restore from a variety of different scenarios. You know, pretend you've been attacked by a ransomware attack and see if you can get your data back. Pretend you've somebody left the organization 60 days ago and now you need their data back, but it's been purged from Office 365 permanently. So test out those restore scenarios and cover quite a few of them to make sure it's going to actually perform when you really, really need it.
Now, in terms of security issues, how big of a risk is ransomware with software as a service data?
Yeah, I think there is definitely a risk to the organization as a whole, obviously. A lot of times ransomware starts with an endpoint, right? A lot of times its entry point is either through email or through a website where a user is tricked into installing an upgraded version of Adobe Flash or something, which is clearly not, you know, an add-on that needs to be upgraded. But everything originates in a ransomware attack. The whole goal is to get in somehow. Most often that's through email or through a website, through a user action where they accept some, they're tricked into clicking through for the ransomware to start. It typically affects an endpoint. The impact on data that's in a SaaS environment is if very often customer employees are syncing data down from the cloud to the laptop and vice versa, whether it's OneDrive for Business or SharePoint, Google Drive, the data that resides in the cloud typically also resides on the laptop. So if a ransomware attack happens, encrypts data on an endpoint, a laptop, for example, that encrypted file now gets synchronized up to the cloud, right? Now it's in Google Drive or OneDrive for Business. And worse, it gets propagated because of the strong collaboration aspects of those services. You know, if file gets encrypted on your laptop, syncs to your OneDrive for Business account, if you're sharing that file with people in your company, or worse, people outside of your company, now that encrypted version has been pushed down to them as well. I also did a webinar back in October, November, talking about some of the different strains of ransomware and how they've grown over time. And I truly believe that the next target for ransomware is the cloud itself, cloud native. There are ways in Google and Microsoft Office 365 to execute code in those environments.
So how can users best protect their SaaS data from ransomware?
So there are a lot of things in the front end you can do. You know, the NIST cybersecurity framework, their sort of mantra is protect, detect, respond, and recover. When it comes to data protection, what we do at Spanning from backup and recovery standpoint, we kind of really fall into that protect, which means you should be backing up your data and have a second copy somewhere. So if something, a data disaster does occur caused by malicious outsiders, you have, first and foremost, the data somewhere that's protected that you can recover from. You know, also on the protect side, you have a lot of things like, you know, proper identity management, two-factor authentication, you know, ransomware, malware scans, all those other services that kind of fall in that protect bucket as well. And then the last one, which is recover, right? So the protect, detect, respond, and recover. Recovery is all about getting back to where you are, right? It's about business continuity and making sure that you can, you know, resume business operations to the way they were before the ransomware attack. And a key piece of that is having that data in an environment where it's protected. And back to what I said before, how quickly can you get the data from that environment back up and running in the system to recover really, really quickly so your business can continue to move forward and you don't have days, you know, hours, days, weeks of downtime from that attack?
What else do you think will be main challenges in the cloud-to-cloud backup market in the near future?
One of the challenges that I think that we and others face, and I've had conversations with some other industry experts about this recently, is that the services that we protect move really fast. You know, Office 365 is, I think, Microsoft's fastest growing business line ever. And in conjunction with that, they're releasing new APIs that we have to, you know, utilize to protect that data. They're making changes to those APIs. They're releasing new services very, very quickly, and those services are being adopted very, very quickly. So Microsoft Teams, Microsoft Planner, a lot of these new services that are bringing out provide a lot of value to their end customers, as they'll be adopting very quickly. But for us to properly protect all that data across all those services, we have to adapt very, very quickly as well. You know, oftentimes we're in situations like, for example, Microsoft Teams. We've been asked about data protection for that service quite a bit in our current client base. and prospects as well. And we will be adding that service at some point. Right now, the APIs are in beta still for Microsoft. And so, you know, we tend to want to make sure that the system is stable and performing well, and the APIs that we use to gather that data and perform restores are solid as well. So there's a little bit of lag there in what we can provide from a data protection service and standpoint versus how fast those other vendors are moving.
So Spanning has been pretty busy this year with enhancements to its Salesforce backup and also an OEM partnership with Kaseya for its Office 365 backup. What else is on the Spanning roadmap for, say, the year ahead?
For this year, we'll continue to expand on sort of both those fronts. We're definitely investing a lot in our, you know, both Office 365 and Salesforce products. You know, in Office 365 specifically, as I sort of just mentioned, our goal is to provide total coverage for the whole suite. You know, today we protect kind of the Exchange workload, SharePoint, and OneDrive. But we do, you know, we want to move into the additional services that are being used, Teams and Planner. You know, those are all being considered and probably be worked on some this year. Can't pre-announce any releases on those yet because, again, we're sort of, you know, working with Microsoft on the APIs there. For Salesforce, we'll continue to work and move forward on more and more detailed restore scenarios. You know, Salesforce, the way that the data is structured and the relationships between the data elements, so, you know, like accounts and contacts and attachments and files, they're all really related to each other. And so there's a lot of depth in some of the specific restore scenarios, and we continue to spend time and effort on those. So when a customer has a problem, you know, whatever the foundation of that problem is, if they've destroyed thousands of record or a single record, or you know, if they need to get back only certain fields on certain record types, all those scenarios we want to try to cover for them. So again, the restore time objective or the time to get data back up and running correctly is becomes shorter and shorter and shorter. We also, as far as the go-to-market changes that we've added this year, we're very excited about the partnership with Kaseya. Their focus is primarily in that mid-market and managed service provider market, who those MSPs serve SMB clients. That's a market that we've had some success in, but honestly hadn't had a tremendous amount of investment in over the years. We're primarily focused on mid-market and enterprise. Kaseya was a great opportunity and great partner for us to bring our solutions down into that market. And, you know, they've got a huge customer base, and the needs of their clients are the same as the needs for our mid-market enterprise clients for the most part. So good partnership for us there. We also recently announced partnership with Unitrends to help bring Office 365, Salesforce, and G Suite later this year into their offerings. Obviously, they excel in traditional, you know, mid-market backup and recovery and enterprise as well. And oftentimes when they're having conversations about, you know, data protection for, you know, core IT services or virtualized environments, SaaS comes up, right? And so they also have a good relationship with their clients and the backup teams. And so the question does come up as well.
Are there software as a service elements or applications that you'd like to see Spanning tackle that it hasn't yet?
Absolutely. You know, our vision for the future is that we continue to add services to our portfolio as we grow. We very often get asked by our existing clients for protection for some of their other key services. You know, we don't have specific plans yet. I do have a list that I keep in my back pocket of where we're going to invest and how we're going to grow. You know, oftentimes we hear, you know, especially in our mid-market enterprise clients, that they're leveraging services like NetSuite, ServiceNow, Workday, things that are much more business critical that have critical corporate information carry some risk for them. And so we'll probably pick up one of those over the next year or two. We still occasionally have requests for Box or Dropbox. You know, those are fairly natural patterns for us. And so we can probably build a solution for those much quicker. Just because we've, you know, we do Google Drive and Office 365, OneDrive today, so kind of natural patterns there. So we may go look at that. But it's really interesting. Once we have had a lot of discussion with a client about the needs for protecting SaaS data, you know, if they have a product of ours or two products of ours already, I guess say another way. Once an organization realizes they have a risk of data loss in SaaS applications, they come back with their list of all the SaaS applications that they use in their environment that are critical for them. And so so we do get those requests quite a bit.
All right. So is there anything else that you wanted to mention about cloud-to-cloud backup that we didn't touch on?
It's definitely an exciting time for cloud-to-cloud backup. You know, I still feel like we're in a high-growth emerging market. You know, so we've been doing this for quite a while, and we're first movers, I think, in the space. But, you know, in the past, like I said, 12 to 18 months, we've seen a big shift from our client base. Analysts in our space have started writing a lot more research around the problem and the solutions in the space. So it's become much more well-known. Prospects that we talked to last year are putting in budget into their annual budgetary cycles for a solution for SaaS backup if they haven't already purchased one. So that's my main takeaway from where we are now, is that we're still in an emerging market, you know, hyper growth. Our Office 365 business has grown 300% year over year for the past 2 years, and I think it will continue to do the same. But yeah, it's becoming well known, and it's just an exciting time for us.
Well, thank you, Matt. We appreciate you taking the time to talk about spanning and cloud-to-cloud backup.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time today. Thanks to all the listeners.